Might need a sign-up sheet back there somewhere, Brother Marcus. Because we're going, me and Faye going to take the next Sunday. Oh, we're not going to take that one. Okay. Well, nobody comes back, so it don't matter, does it? No. Yeah, we're still going to sing Homecoming. No, Jimmy here. I don't want him to hear me sing, so. All right. Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And I want to say, I am glad that Wendell got on something or another, whatever they did to him. He's getting around a lot better. And Wendell Powers with his arthritis. What, Brother Rex? Oh, okay. And also, Justin got his cast off. And I believe Wendell and Justin can have a race now. And we're glad for that, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're talking about encouragement in troubling times. Come, Lord Jesus, is all I can say. This world's in a mess, and we knew it would be. And so we need to look up. Live holy, know your Bible, and try to save as many as you can out of this world till Jesus comes for us. Today we come to a text in verses 7 through 12 on call, Lessons from the Vessel. Lessons from the Vessel. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and we begin reading in chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Father, I pray this morning as we open the text, I correctly interpreted the text, and as the word goes forth, each individual might see it and might make the right application in their life. I know of one big application right now, and we are nothing apart from Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 8, Paul's talking about his suffering and hardship in the ministry. And again, he has this ongoing conflict with the Judaizers and the false apostles, the pseudo-apostles. But he plays off of verses 5 and 6. And he begins to talk about these vessels. Let's go back to verse 5 and 6 just a minute. He says, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God into the face of Jesus Christ. And then he begins to talk about how we are earthen vessels. God and his sovereignty has placed the glorious message of the gospel in earthen vessels. We've been committed with the gospel in these human bodies. I can't fathom that. And these old clay pots, the word is, we have been entrusted with a glorious ministry of salvation. But in order for the light to shine out of the vessel, guess what? Think of the vessel as this. We are just containers. The glorious message of the gospel is what the focus is. And we are just containers that God is using to get the message out and to build his church. But for the message to get out, the vessel has to be broken. And I submit to you today that that's why many people have never shared the gospel message with anybody else. They haven't been broken. They haven't been broken. Now the word vessel speaks of our bodies. And it's used different ways in Scripture. In Romans chapter 9, verse 23, talking about salvation, we are called vessels of mercy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 and 21, we're called vessels of honor and sanctification. We are to be vessels of honor and not of dishonor. And then Paul talks about in Acts 9, 15, about his calling. He says, Christ said, you are a chosen vessel to take the gospel to the Gentiles. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, women are called the weaker vessels. And men are to honor them and to understand them. And that's just the way God has ordered it. They're not inferior, but they are physically the weaker vessel, usually. Okay? Now, we are nothing more than earthen vessels, is what he calls us here. The word means clay pots. You are a clay pot. A treasure within is what gives the vessel its value. The Greek word here for vessel means clay pots or baked clay. It refers to clay pots. Guess what about clay pots? They're cheap, they're breakable, and they're replaceable. Now that would put us in our place, won't it? They're breakable, they're cheap, and they're replaceable. See, if I was to die today while I'm in this pulpit, there would be somebody in this pulpit next Sunday. Nobody is irreplaceable. Amen. The kingdom does not rise and fall on one individual. Amen? Amen? Except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to share with you four lessons that we can learn from the vessel in our text today. Four lessons we can learn from the vessel. Number one, verse 7, God made us like we are so he can use us. God made us. I don't have the screen working this morning. I just didn't put it on there. But God made us like we are so he can use us. Look in verse 7 again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. You know, we often think about people that are less fortunate than we are physically. Maybe they had an injury. Maybe they broke a neck. Maybe they had a disease. Maybe they had an affliction. And we often think of them as being less fortunate. But if they know God, the same, the God that has made them so he can use them. Right? I think of Joni Erickson Tata. Look how God has used her when she broke her neck diving into that whatever it was. Right? We think we got to be healthy and wealthy and wise for God to use us. God makes us the way he makes us so he can use us. And I'm telling you, everybody here today, you're made just the way God wanted you made so that he could use us. What's that old saying? God doesn't make no junk, right? Huh? And he doesn't make no mistakes either. That's plan B. I was talking about plan A. But God made us the way he made us so he can use us. And we ought to be blessed by that. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, I said that Jesus told Paul, you are a chosen vessel unto me, what? To bear my name before the Gentiles. God made you exactly like he made you because you are unique in the kingdom of God and he's going to use you for a special purpose. Now, we would never question how God has made us, would we? God in his sovereignty, he makes the blind, the deaf, the mute, right? Exodus, right? And we often pray, right? You know my beef here. We often pray, God, give me a healthy baby. Well, God may want to give you a different baby. Amen? Amen. So that the glory of Christ might rest upon him. And I hate to use it, but I don't want to be repetitious, but look at Justin back there, how God has used and gotten the glory through his illness, right? Amen. Right? If he was just an average old boy like some of the others, they would have been, you know. But look how God has used him, see, to bless us. And he's growing. He's like Connor back there. Connor, man, he's growing up like a weed, man. He's already taller than his daddy and taller than his pastor, man. I don't know. I'm going to start wearing my high heel shoes around him. And same way with Justin. Look at how fast he's grown since he's been here. Right? When he was here, he was a little peep squeak, right? Y'all get my point, right? God made us like we are so he can use us. We should never question God and his sovereignty and his providence for our abilities, our gifts, or our handicaps. See? When you do that, you're saying, I don't believe God is sovereign and he made a mistake with me. Now, if you go to California or New York or Miami, you might see some mistakes, right? But I'm talking about God makes no mistakes. Psalms 139, verse 13, this is one of my favorite verses. I think it was one of the scriptures that Amy chose at Morgan's baby dedication. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Talking about the womb. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in other words, unformed. And in my book, in thy book, all my members were written, which is continuance fashion, when as yet there was none of them. That's an amazing thing that God has in his book all about us from the beginning to the end, even before we were ever born. Amen? God makes no mistakes or makes no junk, right? God made us the way he made us so he could use us. Do you look around you at times and you see people who say, God can never use that person, right? They're so haughty. They're so prideful. They don't need God, right? You see what I'm saying? God works through the weak things of this world to confound the wise, Paul said, right? So God has made you the way he did so he can use you. But secondly, the vessel must be clean, empty, and available. Look in the latter part of verse 7. That the excellency of the power of God may be of God. I have trouble with that. Excellency, the power of God may be of... All right, let's start over. He says this, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The vessel must be clean, it must be empty and available. If you are not empty, God can't use you, right? You must be empty of self. It's not about you. Wake up. It's not about you. It's about him, right? According to 2 Timothy 2:21, Paul said this, we must become a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, I would much rather hear a person get up here and sing in this pulpit that I know the vessel has been broken than to hear the guy get up here thinking he's the best thing since grits. And get up here and sing, and God doesn't get the glory. He does, right? What about you? The vessel must be broken. We are vessels so God can use us, and we are earthen vessels, as he says in the text, so that we might depend on God's power and not on us. The focus must be on the treasure and not on the vessel. I'm tired of us putting the focus, or the church as a whole, putting the focus on the vessel. The focus is not on the vessel. The focus is on the message, on the treasure. It's on the gospel. It's on the master and not the servant. Number three. There's a third lesson that we can learn about the vessel. That's really verses 8 through 11. The vessel must be weak so God can use it and God be glorified. Look in verse 8. Boy, old Paul, he makes about four or five different lists in the Bible of his hardships in the ministry. And in the context, he's making it in comparison to the pseudo-apostles. They weren't suffering for Christ because they didn't know Christ. But he's getting across to these Corinthians here, don't follow them, follow me. I alone have suffered for Christ, not them. Look in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Ain't that something? The average church doesn't know anything about these verses. Ain't that something? They go to a youth rally, and they don't know anything about these verses. Your average church member knows nothing about these verses. God will guard the believer in suffering or trial as he guards the treasure. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed unto thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. See, God permits trials, and he permitted trials in the Apostle Paul's life. God controls the trials, and God uses the trials for his glory. There is a purpose behind divine suffering. There is a purpose behind suffering, hardship, and persecution because of Christ. It's built in, isn't it? We have a message that the world hates. We have a Savior that the world hates. And if we take our stand with him, we're going to be automatically rubbing the wrong way with the world. And praise God, that's so. You can know you're on the right track when you are persecuted for the gospel. Amen? When you're persecuted for righteousness and you stand up against abortion, stand up against sexual perversion on every hand, when you stand up for these things, you are not going to be popular with the world. And I hope you don't try to be, because you can't be popular with the world and popular with God at the same time. No man can serve two masters, right? Either he'll love one and hate the other. I mean, no man can have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. It won't happen. So God permits the vessel to be broken. Guess what? So sometimes it takes the vessel to be broken so that the treasure will spill out and bless others, right? Note the paradoxes in verses 8 through 11. Verse 7, he says, earthen vessels versus the power of God. In verse 10, he says, the dying of Jesus and the life of Jesus. And while we're ever living, dying to Jesus as we suffer in hardship and bear the scars of Jesus, the very life of Jesus is made manifest through our life to bless others. People are not blessed by our persecution unless the life of Jesus is poured out into their life. And then in verse 12, he mentions death working and life working. So which is it? Death working, see, in us as believers so that life could be working in the life of others, people who are not believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul said this, and he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, remember a few weeks ago in Sunday school, I mentioned one of the verses was, he will not put on you more than what you bear, except he'll give you a way of escape. And I told you that's talking about actual temptation to sin. It's not talking about dryer tearing up, your car tearing up, your dog dying, you know, and having a bad week. It's talking about actual temptation to sin. And he says, except I'll give you a way to escape. And you put it in this context, and that's what he's talking about. A better verse to use when we have hard times on us is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee, whatever we're going through, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Boy, that's, is that in the Bible? He says, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. You want the power of Christ, you got to be weak. That's contrary to the world, isn't it? You got to be strong. You got to be like Donald Trump. Call it like it is. Or like Hillary and crook everybody, whatever, you know. No, you got to be weak that the power of Christ might rest upon you. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches in necessities. And we're talking about 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. In persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You want to be strong in the Lord, suffer for Jesus, right? Lesson number 4, and this will be the last one. The vessel suffers for the master. The vessel suffers for the master. Notice verse 10 and 11 again. He says, always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, what? In my body, having death and life at the same time. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Let me share a few thoughts and then we're gone. If we suffer, it is for the sake of Jesus. Now I'm talking about suffering for righteousness' sake. If we die to self, it is so that the life of Christ might be revealed in us and others might see this life, right? If we go through trials, it is so that Christ might be glorified. God sends us through suffering, what? To perfect us, to make us like the image of his son, and that he might get the glory. See, it's not that he's up there punching with his pen the little pincushion and says, I believe I'm going to make Inez suffer this day. No. He's perfecting us. He's conforming us to the image of his Son so that when we are persecuted, others may see the way we respond and glorify our God, right? And so this is not the world's thinking. This is the Bible's thinking, right? All of this is for the sake of others. As we serve Christ, death works in us, but life works in them to whom we are ministering to, right? Why did Paul say all this right here? Well, you put it in this context. He's contrasting his ministry with the ministry of the Judaizers, the false apostles. You know, I've suffered this. I'm real. I'm legitimate. I'm authentic. These Judaizers here, they never suffer. They ride in on their white horses and haughty spirits, and you're there to serve them rather than them there to serve you. And they stole converts from the churches that Paul established. They made the people sacrifice for them. That's one test of a false teacher. Who's getting served here? Is it the teacher or the people, right? They made the people sacrifice for them. They did not have a treasure to gather. They did not have a treasure to share in their clay pots. So I want to close with this question, a couple questions today. What does it cost you to be faithful to the gospel? Pastor, that's for people over there in Iran and Iraq and Asia, and that's for them people over there in the Sudan. That's not for us. Well, guess what? It may soon well be, right? Amen. But I'm telling you, has it cost us anything to follow Jesus? Amen. See, the test of true ministry is not stars, but scars. Do you have any scars? Oh, we're good about handing out stars. You know, we'll have conventions and give out plaques and give out awards. But it's not about plaques, it's about pain. It's not about awards, it's about adversity. We don't give out stars. Christ gives us scars, right? You ever run across anybody and you just said to yourself, that person needs to be broken so that God will get the glory, right? And I really believe that we're so busy handing out stars, we can't receive any scars. I hope you get what I'm talking about today. I can't believe God put such a valuable treasure in clay pots, in earthen vessels. The clay pot is nothing. It's breakable, it's replaceable. Guess what, right? When you go, there's somebody going to take your place. Your wife will probably marry a better-looking man than she ever had, right? In fact, Faye's already got about 4 picked out, she told me. That's tough stuff, isn't it? You're replaceable. But right now, you're a clay pot so that God can get the glory, right? And that's what it's all about. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If Miss Wanda comes and Brother Marcus comes, Lord, we don't like to think of ourselves as clay pots, baked clay. We're nobody, but what makes us important is the treasure that's been given to us and been placed in us to share with others. We are instruments that the Almighty Sovereign God uses to build his church by confessions of faith. That's unsearchable. We can't realize that. Lord, help us to look at ourselves as not all about us, but all about him. Help us to look at ourselves, it's not all about me, it's all about this body here. Help us to look at ourselves and say, it's not all about me. What can I give that others might see the life of Christ? I don't know what your need is today. I don't know where you're at, but you're welcome to respond accordingly. In a few moments, we're going to invite you to come and kneel at this altar, or whatever it might be. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe it's just to come and give your stars and ask God to turn them into scars. I don't know what it is, but this is the time to do it. Father, have your will and way in this service. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.